The war in Syria is less and less just in Syria. A number of indications today that the conflict is having an impact from the Israeli border through Lebanon and on to Turkey and Iraq. Genev Abdo joins us, a fellow at the Stimson Center and a non-resident fellow at the Brookings Institution. Genev, welcome.
Thank you very much.
The Golan Heights is a particularly troublesome zone for Syria in the sense that Bashar al-Assad really needs to keep that border secure. Are the opposition forces in a position to really disrupt things by making the Golan chaotic?
Yes, but I think that we've already seen much more problematic areas in the region where the opposition has created, you know, of course, along with Assad's forces, created a much broader sectarian war. This is no longer just a war in Syria. Syria is still sort of in the background. It's sort of the narrative driving both Shia and Sunni Muslims. But I think we're seeing now a conflict that is crossing borders among basically four countries, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Turkey. And of course, the Golan is part of that, but I think that what we're seeing in these other countries is much more serious and dangerous.
Let's take Iraq first. Some have described that there is essentially an uninterrupted path of instability from the Syrian border zone straight into Iraq, where sectarian conflicts in Iraq exactly mirror what's going on in Syria right now. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that even though we have been talking about this whole issue of a sectarian regional war in recent weeks, let's not forget, of course, that the sectarian war in Iraq started a long time ago after the U.S. invasion. So I think that this is why we have seen, to some degree, the great escalation. I mean, Syria began as just sort of a protest movement against Assad, but now there's a great and very important religious doctrinal dimension to the Shia-Sunni conflict.
Now, let me push you a little bit on that. Are you suggesting that a sort of final battle between Sunnis and Shia is possibly what's in the cards here, depending on how much wider this conflict gets?
I think there's the danger of that, and I don't want to exaggerate in any way, you know, what we might see in the future. But if you read a lot of the comments that come from both sides, and in fact, we don't, you know, not only are we seeing this among sort of the rank and file fighters, but if you look at, for example, if you compare the speeches that both Hassan Nasrallah made and Yusuf Qaradawi, who of course is the very, very influential sheikh in Doha, Qatar, they were basically talking to one another and responding to each other on this issue of sectarianism. And I think that what was so striking about both of their speeches, and, you know, of course, both of these clerics have millions of followers in the Middle East, if not around the world. But what was most striking is that they have basically cut the pretenses. They've stopped the pretenses of any sort of reconciliation that goes back centuries in this conflict between Shia and Sunni Muslims. And Qaradawi said, you know, I was very naive, he says, in fact, in thinking that there could be some sort of reconciliation. And so I think that to some degree he, and perhaps less so on Nasrallah's part, I wouldn't say effectively declared war on the Shia, but certainly he indicated that we are at a different phase now in the conflict than we were a few years ago.
Well, that's pretty alarming. Let's focus on Turkey for a moment, where there are many, many sort of nascent, quiet powder kegs that could be reopened by any number of unstable moments in the region. We're looking at some unrest that seems to be related to Prime Minister Erdogan's style of management. But I noticed that Syrian government officials were very quick to cackle about what's going on inside Turkey. What evidence is there that the Syrians would love to see instability take place inside Turkey right now?
Well, the Syrians, of course, I mean, the government of President Assad, of course, want revenge because Turkey has been very, very involved in taking in refugees and in aiding the opposition. So, of course, you know, they want revenge, and this is why perhaps they would like to see instability in Turkey. There have been, of course, There's now violence in Turkey as a direct spillover of what's been happening in Syria. So I think that of course there was always this great risk for the government of Turkey that if they did aid the opposition, if they did take in refugees as they have, that they would pay the consequences.
And of course, all of this is reflected in the instability and traditional instability in Lebanon, where there has been a sectarian divide since really the 1980s. And if we talk about Hezbollah being a proxy for Iran, and Hezbollah is engaged in battles with the Syrian opposition right now, what do you make of the scale of the conflict right now in Lebanon?
Well, again, unfortunately, Lebanon is now sort of at the epicenter of this conflict because of its proximity to Syria and, of course, because of the involvement of Hezbollah. And I think that if we try to examine what the causes are of this escalation in the sectarian conflict, the proxy war is sort of at the top of the list, or at least second in the list of causes, which also include, even a perception divorced from what's on the ground, a perception among Shia and Sunni Muslims that they're fighting some sort of war. But going back to the issue of Hezbollah, I mean, I think that we are seeing the intensification of this proxy war with Turkey, Qatar, Saudi Arabia on one side, to some degree the United States, and on the other, a real intensification of what has historically been the Hezbollah-Iran-Syria axis. And they are fighting on the Iran-Hezbollah-Syria side. They are fighting for survival. And I think it's very important to understand this. For them, this isn't just a war for power. It's a war for survival. Mm.
A threshold moment for many of the players here
for
in
Hezbollah
Syria.
For Syria.
Certainly. Genev Abdo is a fellow with the Middle East Southwest Asia program at Stimson, and also is a non-resident fellow at the Brookings Institution, talking about Syria. Genev, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.